They're positioned themselves to receive the supernatural power of God on everything. But you know what? Those that are distracted with this world, this church ought to be full. Every Baptist church ought to be full. Every Methodist church ought to be full. Hallelujah. And we're not going to let that deceive us into thinking that God is not moving. God said to me, He said, you have labored and you have toiled and you have kept the faith. He said, and you labored and talking to all of y'all, you labored to seemingly no prevail. He said, but I tell you, you sowed no seed that I did not see and I did not keep an account of. He said, and you will get the harvest of your laboring in me. We're going to have it. God said it. I'm not a very good motivational speaker, but I am a man of faith. I know Jesus Christ personally. I met Him down yonder, praise the God. Here in just a few days in January, we are going to celebrate 24 years of this ministry. God has kept us and been good to us for 24 years. Give Him some praise, hallelujah. And me and you are very fortunate that God could have put us anywhere on this planet. God could have put us in Arab. God could have put us in Aniana. God could have put us anywhere He would have wanted us. But God gave us Bluntsville. I've lived in Bluntsville all of my life. Address. Lived at Cleveland. It was a Bluntsville address. All of my life I've lived in a Bluntsville address. And I told God, see, the Bible says, put that up there, Travis, Jeremiah 29:11. See, I didn't realize, Chris, at 26 or 27, 25, I didn't know what this Bible said. I didn't know. And if I read any of it and heard any of it because I wasn't born again, I couldn't understand it. Because you don't get understanding not being His. The Bible says that in order to receive from God, we must go through Jesus. In order to go to God, understand the Word, understand the Scriptures, we have to have God, hallelujah. Well, He enlightens us. I didn't know at 26 and 27 years old that God had a plan. God said, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you hope for your future. Planned. I don't care if you're 80. I don't care. I was thinking about it this morning. I said, God, I didn't know that you had plans for me. But when I found out in Jeremiah 20:11, God, that you said in your word that you had a plan for me, I took it personally. That God would save me. That God would bring my marriage back. That God would do just a couple of things that I couldn't seem to make happen in my life that I wanted. And God said, I was the doorway. God was telling me, Jesus was the doorway to that plan in your life. And when you gave Him your heart that day and you said, Lord, if you're really real, then help me. He said, I came in, He said, because you opened the door. See, I didn't know the Scripture said whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But I called on Him that day. And I didn't know until things changed out here the way I felt. All of the feelings and emotions left me and I felt peace and all of that. And I stood up and I thought, man, what happened to me? I didn't know I got born again. But I found out all these years He sticks to you closer than a brother. I found out all these years that he never leaves me or forsakes me. See, I knew the scripture, but when it come time and hell was turned loose in front, out of the principalities and powers and darkness of this world began to come against me to try to get me back, then is when I found out that God's power was real. I was only 27, so don't give me this. You know you gotta wait till later so you can enjoy life. I'm telling you right now, but God, I've had the best 30 something years of my life in Christ Jesus. I have the freedom to do anything on this planet that I want to do. Bless God, I got a free will. But I found out that he began to change my will to his will. And I began to find out that his will and his plans for me are good. They are prosperous. They are powerful. You can't. The kingdom is so powerful, there's no end to it. He said, and upon this government there shall be no end to the power. See, the church, this church right here, just this church, is more powerful than our whole entire government. The Bible says, if God be for you, your husband can't stop you. If God be for you, your neighbor can't stop you. If God be for you, your kids can't stop you. If God be for you, your grandkids can't stop you. If God be for you, Richard can't stop me. He wouldn't try. He's with me. He winked at me. I thought, maybe he's still okay. I love you too, Richard, but you just got to keep it holy, brother. Woo, hallelujah. I'm happy this morning, guys, that I really know Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's not a religion to me, man. I mean, I can come here and be spiritual, you know, but what about when hell's happening? What about when I mean, just like Preston was talking about, I don't just put him on Sunday morning, man. I mean, glory to God, you got to get up and walk with him. Talk with him. I'm talking about fellowship with him. Fast and pray and don't let your mind tell you it's a drudgery going to the house of God. We're fixing to go on the streets, guys. I'm about to get fired up with evangelism. I believe he come through and stirred me up. I believe we're going to get on the streets. I believe 2026, God's going to fire us up on the inside. I believe he's going to give us the appointment. I believe he's going to give us the anointing. I believe he's going to give us the grace, and I believe we're going to take the kingdom. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, but me and you, we take it by force. We force Satan back. We force him out. We force him to turn him loose. We force him to back up with that, with sickness and disease. Y'all don't get sick very much. You know why? Because you are children of the Most High God. I don't like praying for you, so I just preach faith to you and keep you healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Everything the enemy's trying to do in your life with your grandkids, Doris could testify of the power of God, hallelujah. When she felt like she couldn't take it, she felt like she might want her grandkids, mom and them, dead, I don't know. It wasn't that deep, but it was close. She don't tell us about those battle scars. Let them be testimonies. Our battle scars are testimonies. Monty said it. That trial was just a stepping stone higher in my faith in God. Let the devil rage. Let him roar. Let him do what he wants to do. But he's not going to come to us walking to. He's not going to find us to devour. He needs to come over here where we can help them get free from him, because he's under our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's under our feet. We're going to go in the highways and the byways. And I'm not just a talker, but God, I'm taking it to the devil. I'm not afraid of him. I'm not afraid of the city and the mayor, and I'm not afraid of the naysayers. I'm not afraid of the anti-God people around this building. I'm not afraid of, I got something they need. I got Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. He's my strength. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Psalm 66:12, he said, you might have, men might have rode over your head. You felt like you was under. He said, you might have went through the water, the flood, and through fire at times. He said, but I brought you out. He told him, he said, I brought you out to a powerful place, a wealthy place, an abundant place. Well, he's the same God for us. Talk, people get in that theologian step. Well, he was talking to the Israelites. Well, I am one. But God, I'm an Israelite. If you want to put it in that category, I am one. Been grafted in. He went over there to them. They said, we don't want you. Wrong package. He went to his own people, and they didn't receive him. He said, but to those that receive him, have you received him? He said, to them I give power to become the sons of God. Oh, the city said we couldn't have church. But God said, I told you to go. This place. See, I didn't know that God had plans. I'm telling you right now, every one of you, you might know it from back under 30 years ago and accepted that God had a plan for you, and you're about knee-deep in that plan right now if you've been walking with him 30 years. You might not even be knee-deep. That's exciting. Man, I've walked in some good times. I've cast out some devils. I've raised the dead. I've laid hands on them in a coma. All they got to do is pull the plug, hallelujah, and God say, go pray for them. I'm going to raise them up in a time of seeking him and fasting and saying, God, what are you saying in this? That's what Teresa was talking about. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, those that are led by the Spirit of God, those that are open to, willing to yield to the Spirit of God will see the signs, the wonders, and the miracles, because God working with them in the book of Acts, when they preach the Word of God showing signs, wonders, and miracles, God working with you, like Monty said, when you tell them about Jesus Christ. Don't be a coward. Oh, he just called us a coward. No, you're not a coward according to the Bible if you're born again. That's fear. The Bible says he doesn't give you a spirit of cowardness to be a coward. But he give you power, love, and a sound power. Dynamite. I'm talking about playing. No wonder Satan wants you out. So get out of this. Nobody knew the troubles I have. Get out of that and quit playing the devil's music. Look, God, I could probably call some of you to commit suicide if I give you all my trouble in the notebook in 3 weeks. I'm being serious. If I come over here and told y'all all that because you're not anointed in my arena, you're not anointed in my arena. I'm not anointed in yours. But you're anointed in yours. You're anointed to be a mother. You're anointed to be a mother, a wife. I started to say husband, but she'd be like, I don't know, he missed God then. Well, she told you I could. If I call you a husband, you're a woman, just know that that was flesh. Right? I got caught up in the moment. 2026 is going to be a year of God's overflow, spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. I was attacked by throat yesterday a little, and I was like, oh, no, you don't. I got on my gator, and I wrote out, I said, oh, no, you don't. I see you in the name of Jesus. I feel it trying to come on my body, and I resist you in the name of Jesus. And I thought, this is Saturday. How many did he attack yesterday, and they won't go to church, but they're able and will go to work tomorrow? I'm just saying. We got to watch the patterns of the enemy. He will attack you when you need to be going and getting prepared and getting filled up and worshiping and getting the Word of God, getting to hear this good Word this morning. And those sitting listening this morning that could be in this service, you're not under the anointing we feel. You're hearing the Word preached, but you're not under the anointing. Now you that can't be here this morning, and God has connected you, your circumstances won't let you be in your church this morning. You are connected with that same anointing because you can't be there. Right? They will feel it. But those that can, see, that's what makes us wise. We're wiser than the devil. We're smarter than he is. We have the wisdom of God. Yep. Travis told me the other day, he said, Dad, he said, you wouldn't be happy not doing what you're doing, would you? And I looked at it, and I thought about it, and I thought, no, I got to have Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I mean, he'd help you cut wood all day at $49.59. If you cutting wood and busting it, he can help you all the time. You can get under that anointing. I can do all things. See, his plan, he changed it. Go back. I wasn't through with that one. Phew, throwed me off there. I'm like, man, that's not good. He said, I know the plans that I have. I didn't know that God had a plan for me, Pat. I didn't know it. I got born again, and I was sitting this morning, and I was thinking, I mean, there's some people come through the line, the giveaway line, and some of them you know, and all of that, you know, and some of them I was raised with, and some of them's done died, and, you know, and they down there, and they're like, Dad asked me, you're over this? And I'll be like, nah, God is. You know, I'm just here serving Jesus. And I would tell them, this can be you. This can be you. All I did was chose to walk with Jesus. That's all. That's all I did. And I would tell them, you know, get right with the Lord. He could use you. I mean, this could be you because God has a plan for you. But you're not letting him have his way where he can show you and get you in the plan that he has for you. I am rich. See, some of you has a problem with that. But you had a problem when I was down with my sister and all, y'all give me some beer. Come on, I don't want to buy none. Give me some. They had a problem then. I wish you'd get a job and get some money. Then you believe God and you get up wealthy. Boy, oh, Scotty. Thinks he's something. Look, make your mind up. You either want to have me blessed so I'm not bumming off of you, or you want to just be me just, you know, draining you all the time. You'd rather have it the other way, right? Well, that's the way you are. You're blessed going in. Blessed going out. Blessed in the city. Blessed. That's all I believed. I believed that God's plan was Deuteronomy 28 for me. I believed it then and I believe it now. I believe that I will never be broke again another day in my life. And I believe I don't have to work 900 hours a week and forget God to have it. But God, he come to me one day, 2 or 3 years ago, and he said, ask me. He said, I want you to ask me. He said, for bigger jobs, less work, and more money. This girl does it, don't you? Don't you say that when you're giving your tithes to the Lord or whatever? Ain't that something? Ain't that something? The girl don't sing. I mean, she may. I can't get her up there. I mean, she don't do all. But she goes and she says, God, God, I won't. What she's saying is, where I'm at is not where I'm staying. God, I don't want to work 40, 80 hours a week to be able to get me a house when I get married. God, I'm not going to depend on my job and my husband's when I get married, God. But God, I'm going to depend on you to do abundantly. I'm planting things in her right now because she's going to have to preach this too. She's going to preach it too. She's going to tell her kids, well, no, gosh, you've got to go God's way. And they're going, I'm not tithing. Mama, Jesus is not getting my money. That's what my grandkids told me. And I'm like, what? Oh, no, you can't be against Jesus. This is terrible. Terrible. Broke my heart, Pat. My little granddaughter, she's just young and she can't see Jesus. You know, we're telling her about somebody she can't see. He said, I tell her, well, you know, you got a tithe. Papa will give you this. No, Jesus ain't getting nothing of mine. And then you go a few years down the road because I didn't change my confession. I didn't change my conviction about I'm going to plant this in her. She's going to know because I tell her about Jesus Christ and you're giving it to God and you're tithing. And now she comes in and she gives it all. She'll put in a 20 or whatever she's got. And I'm like, "Ooh, you don't have to know I want to do it, Papa." She told me one day, she said, hey, Papa. And I said, yes, baby, what is it? She said, there's more where this come from. But you know who taught her? I did. There's always more where this come from, baby. You can't outgive God. Now you can't, they didn't, she don't have to understand it. Once she receives it and believes it, it begins to work. But here she is over here. You going to praise them? Nah. You want to work for Jesus? Nah, I'm good. I got to work 6 hours. I'm good, Pastor. I even heard her one time. She said, I'm not doing nothing he says. Long time ago. And you know what? I heard her. I don't care what he says. I'm not doing nothing. And I thought, God, I'm not asking her to do what I want her to do. I'm just laying, I'm a mailman. I'm laying this out, but I thought, but God, one day because I'm faithful to that church, God, it's going to get in her. And God, you're going to do like you did me. You're going to begin to transform her. You're going to begin to cause her to look unto you, the author and the finisher. That'll cause her to have a good marriage, have a good relationship with mom and dad, have a good relationship with her brothers and sisters. It's He that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. See, the best for you is yet to come. That's why, you know, it's kind of like Monty. I watched him. He's preaching up here, you know, and I'm saying he's got it all. He's trying to figure it all out years ago. That's why God sends us to churches. That really, I mean, we know that if we get them focused on the Lord and walking with the Lord, they come off of us. That they get weaned off of the pastor, weaned off of them. Now the young ones need us. They need for us. They need to be able to lean on us and ask us and teach us. But we need to show them. And so Monty and them are going through, you know, a trial just like we all do, going through. They trying to jump from renting to owning. Right? Throwing away money, renting, having to move every now and then and all of that. And they got a dream for their own house. You know, I preach it here. You'll live in houses that you didn't build, right? And when you preach that word, God begins to work in your heart to have those desires, whether it be spiritual or natural. And then God wants you to take those desires and delight yourself in Him, and He will bring it to pass according to the Scripture. Not you figure it out, so much as figuring it out. Oh, he's in distress. He's in distress. And it looks like I'm all confused about it. And I'm like, God, when's he going to get it? When's he going to get it? See, my pastor helped me find it. Right? I didn't get born again and say, "Woo! Yeah." Then here comes Teresa cussing God. She cussing God. I'm not blankety blankety blank God, blah, 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 blah. I'm not blankety blankety blank God. And I thought, oh my God, she's cussing God. And I thought, well, I did. I didn't really cuss God like that, but I put my hands on a stack of Bibles and he didn't kill me, so I guess he ain't going to kill her. See y'all quiet. God's not a religious God. He's like, I blink my eyes to this ignorant stuff you do. Right? The Bible says that he blinks his eyes to ignorance. It's what we know is what he can't blink for. He give us the same spirit of faith. Therefore we believe. I got some things down prophetically that God spoke to me. Because I woke up in the middle of the night and we're in the service, so y'all get ready. I believe it was the Lord. And I'm down here at this church and God has begun to move in a mightier way than we've saw him. People won't leave. They won't quit coming. And I'm thinking in my dream or whatever I was, Teresa went in there and she said, "Oh my gosh, what have you done with this cover?" There wasn't no cover on the bed. I told her, I said, I was wondering why I was getting cold. Well, I've been wrestling around. That normally don't happen, you know. And so I'm in this building and I can't go home. And I thought, what am I going to eat? Because they won't leave. People won't leave and they won't quit coming. And when I got conscious, I said, God, God, and I couldn't go do garage doors in my dream because this God thing's happening. You know, and so I told God when I got conscious, I said, God, I said, here I am. God, if you want to turn my life upside down from the way I know it right now, God, with your power and your ministry, because you love people and you want them saved, healed, and delivered, God, then here I am. Here I am, God. Disrupt my life. So I got up and I was telling Teresa, I said, I thought I might order to drive. I said, and then I thought, no, I'm not going to drive. I said, and then I told her, I said, I'll just tell you to go on. I'll catch a ride home. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying it'll happen, but hey, well, right now, I have 30 minutes limited to preach according to that clock. That's a problem to me because I'm just getting started. Teresa preaches. She told me, I said, how about taking up tithes this morning? She come in there, and I'm telling you right now, I'm not a typical taking up tithes. And I'm like, well, I mean, if you can get them baptized in the Holy Ghost during Sunday school, that's not normal either. I said, if you get up there, I said, I've been telling you, sometime or another we're going to tag team, I said, because I'm going to preach. And so then I told her, I said, listen to me. I said, we're not set in this formula. I said, we make plans. We go and we pick out three songs and we're going to take up tithes and offerings and then we're going to preach and we're going to send them off down yonder. I said, we make plans and we should. I said, but God directs. I said, we got to be open to God. That's the way you got to be in your life. I'm not just talking about ministry. I'm talking about your life. If God's wanting to take you, he brings you to a place, you know, and you're just trying to figure out which way to go and all of that stuff. And God says, I want you to go north. I want you to turn left right here. Don't say, no, I know this path. We've been having church for 30 years the same way. No, I know, God. I mean, this is the way you've done it before in my life, God. But no, God's going to turn things around. God's going to do different ways in your life, and you must be open to Him. Because on the left path, the way you believe God, look, the ways of God to me are not the way of least resistance most of the time. I'm going to say that again. In my life, in Christians, the ways of God are not always the road of least resistance. Not always. Sometimes, yes, but not always. And so God, if God wants to take you, if God tells you, Richard, to love your wife as Christ so loved the church, then don't just brush it off and say, that's not for this one. It's not for my marriage. Uh-uh. That means I'm going to have to take care of her better than what I do. That means I'm going to have to give her money. I'm going to work and give her an allowance where she can go spend what she wants to. Teresa called me one time and she said, y'all in a hurry? You got a roast on? Well, I'm going to go a few more minutes. I'm kind of hungry myself, but that's... Teresa called me up one time and Travis had left home and got married and only kid, and she kind of felt oppressed, Satan trying to oppress her, you know, and life changing. All it was, you know, this is a different life. And so I'm down there and I'm like, man, Lord, what do? I need to help her somehow, Lord. I'm praying for her and all that. And all of a sudden I thought, buy her some chickens. So I bought her some chickens, and then she liked them few little chickens. We went over there and got them, got her mind off herself. It was just about herself. Missing Travis. Call them and tell them to come out here. No! They're not living out here. We're going to have to wing them somehow. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm free after all these years. They're living out there. I'm not missing them like her. I just wasn't. You know, and I'm glad he's gone. That's not in a bad way, you know. And so anyways, I get her these little chickens. And she likes, she's petted. They giving her lap and all that. And I thought, well, man, I'm going to really load her up for Christmas. So I bought her 100. They come in 2 little boxes. She kept them in the house in front of the wood heater. I'm like, man, we got 100 chickens in here. I'm about to get them out quick because they grow up fast. I mean, they was all in 2 little boxes. Well, anyways, about 6 months goes by, they're out of the house because they start laying eggs around 6 months. She calls me up one day, you got 100-something chickens. They poop a lot. So she calls me up. She said, I'm going to need you to help me. And I said, well, this evening or whatever. I said, what are we doing? I'm like, oh, my God, what could it be? She said, well, we got to clean out them chicken pens, that chicken manure. We got to clean it out. We'll put it down on the garden, blah, 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 blah. And I thought, uh-oh. So I go up there, and I buy me a tractor with a front-end loader on it. And I come dragging that baby in. I said, I'm here to help. Where do I start? What am I saying? I took the burden off of her. I think work smarter, not harder. So that's just me. I can believe God to help me out with this labor stuff. See, what I'm saying is, it might not be chickens for you. It might be little bitty things. But I endeavored to take the load off of my wife in everything that I had in my power to do. And that is why I'm the best thing that ever happened to her other than Jesus. Because a man that follows God walks in an authority that everybody don't walk in. They walk in a grace from God, the ability that everybody don't walk in. And that woman, if that woman treats her husband like he is a servant of the Most High God, and she submits to him as he submits to the Lord, that woman will walk in a faith that every woman won't have. They will walk in strength and courage that every woman don't have. They will walk in the flow of the Holy Spirit, and they will enjoy their lives where everybody don't. Hallelujah. I got to hurry. Oh, man, I may just have to bring this out Wednesday. You have prayed and asked for the hurting. God said to tell you, all of y'all that has been concerned about the hurting and the lost, and the ones we feed and the clothes, all this stuff is not that we are looking for work to do and just be good people. We are reaching them with the love of Jesus Christ. Because we know that our supply in all of that, this building, everything, was Him Himself. And that is part of His plan that He has for us. He said, you have prayed and asked for the hurting and lost. You have labored seemingly to no prevail, but the harvest is here. He said, you will be glad and rejoice. You will be glad and rejoice. He said, I will raise up your sons and daughters, says the Lord. You know, I never dreamed when I give my heart to Jesus that God has a plan for my son. All I was doing is trying to follow Jesus and all of, and then me and Teresa run across scripture where children are a blessing from the Lord. He loaned them to us. Then we realize that we've got to train him up in the things of God, not religion, not churchism, but in relationship with Jesus. And when he got 15 or 16, I told him, I said, son, I said, there will come a time in your life when you can't live off of my anointing anymore. You must have a relationship with Jesus Christ yourself if you're going to have that anointing that I walk in. What was I doing? Teaching him. Little did I know, and I was thinking about this morning, I thought, God, I found out the plans pretty much back yonder that you wanted me prosperous and strong, and you had already stripped Satan for us, and all you wanted me to do is walk and preach the gospel. Preach to people about you. And I told him, I said, but God, I didn't realize that here 24 years later, pastoring a church, that I would realize that you've got a plan for me. See, he's got a plan for me, Chris. Here 24 years later, God's got a plan, and I have no idea what it is. That's why I got to trust him and walk with him. If he puts it in my heart to go and lead y'all guys on the streets and help you get started and help you out there, praise God, and pray for you, then that's what I do. If he wants me to lead you to the prisons, I can get you in. If he wants me to lead you to the jails, I can get you the ministry. I have the doors that I can put you in the jails and the streets and the nursing homes. I have the doors. So if you really want to preach the gospel, but you know what it's going to cost you? Sacrifice. You're not going to follow the desires of your heart to do the will of God and the things of God and not do anything. You're going to have to get up and say, God, not my will, but your will be done, God. And you work all these things out for me to do your will. And then you see the supernatural come in. See, our babies and our kids, I sang to Travis while he was in Teresa, Garth Brooks songs. Had my black hat on, my guitar, and I'm singing to him, Garth Brooks, boy. That's why I'm partially got hooked on country music. He don't listen to secular music anymore. He was against me a long time. Dad, it's not sin. Dad, it's not sin. I told him one time, I said, go dig out all them tapes. I said, I've never said that secular music was a sin. There are sin words in it. Right? There is image in them. They come out of the image they want you to have and feel and move and like their music. But hey, you know what? They come a day because Dad took a stand, and I don't think he never heard me listen to secular music. Have you? Yeah. Trophy, baby. I will restore your joy, God says. I will give you the land your feet treads upon. In other words, where God leads you, God will give it to you. I'm telling you right now, this building right here, I walked around this and claimed it in the name of Jesus when I knew he wanted it, when I could not get it on my own. I walked around it and laid hold of this building right here. And didn't have the means to get it. No money, no credit. this building down here when God said, he told me while I was mowing it. I'm telling you this because you'll be going about and all of a sudden you'll remember that and God will say, this is what I want you to do. I want you to walk on this. I want you to anoint this. I want you to lay hold of this. You'll remember the story. I heard stories of people that did that, and then when it come time for me, I would think about those stories. I was on a lawnmower mowing that yard, and God told me, he said, the next time you mow, he said, I want you to bring some anointing oil, he said, and I want you to pour it around this building. He said, I'm going to allow you to have this building. So I come over, mowed the yard, and I anointed it with oil. I got off, walked around it, anointed this clothing building right down here with oil. And I told God I don't borrow money and we don't pay interest, and y'all know the story. And then once I bought the building, I went and told the guy what we was going to pay down. We didn't pay no interest, and he said, well, just tell me what you want the payments to be. I said, I already got them. About 7 or 10 people quit right after that. I called Teresa before when God said, get that building down there for the work of the ministry. I didn't know, but look what it's doing. I didn't know what that building was going to be doing. I called Teresa up and told her, Lord, I said, can we afford it? And she said, no, we can't afford it. I said, that's God. I know it's God. So I go out and do it. About 7 or 8, 10 people, they quit, praise God. And I thought, oh, my God. Ain't that what you do when God gives you a vision for your marriage and then it gets worse? And he gives you a vision for your finances and then it gets worse? Ain't that the way it is? You want to go do ministry, but it gets worse? God told me one time, he said, I'm called to preach. I said, get ready in 3 weeks. 2 weeks later, he called me. I'm having marital trouble. And I said, what about it? What I got to do with it? Oh, man, I just need to wait till I get things straightened out. I said, we won't never see you. We won't never see you preach. Your wife began to act stupid. So now you lost the anointing? Come on now. Either he ain't told you or you're going to have to fight. One of the two, you're going to have to, either he ain't told you or you're going to have to fight. Well, they quit. And I'm like, oh, my God, Lord, what am I, oh, Jesus. That devil, boy, you just go all, you're like, oh my God. Then you stand up and you say, glory to God. God said, have a good marriage. God said, I bless going in and out the city and up there. Bless God, he said, get that building. He didn't say everything's going to get bad. I wasn't into all the details until the details started hitting me. But see, that's when you take the details and you show the details who your God is. And so I went and I said, glory to God. I said, whoo, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you supply all of our needs according to your riches. Then I began to say out of my mouth and tell Satan, you know what? You want to try that? But God, we're going to pay that building off early in the name of Jesus. Well, you know what? Doris backslid on the Lord. Back under. That was a long time ago. Backslid. And all of a sudden, she said, oh, I got a tithe. I got a tithe. She starts sending her tithe. They ain't even going to church. Backslid on the Lord. You know why? I was saying, you'll supply all of our needs according to your riches. Then God began to move on somebody to tithe. He began to move on people sending it out of Georgia and everywhere else. And we paid that building off early. A year or two. Quicker. Well, when I seen God begin to move, I wanted to come up here and say, glory to God, we're moving forward with God. Are there any of y'all want to quit? And I thought, no, I better not, because all of them might leave. That's how stable he was at that time. I could say it to y'all, and y'all like, bless God, we're going. We're going to go with Jesus, praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, I just thank you, Father God, that 2026 has